This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 23, where I talk with Yellow Sweater about her poem, The Big Blue. Before you listen, I just want to mention that Yellow Sweater and I are hosting an online open mic October 24th at 7 p.m. EST. Anyone is welcome to come with a poem, short story, or song, as long as it's relatively short so that everyone has a chance to read. We would love to have you join us, even if it's just to listen to everyone else. So, you can sign up for it through the announcement on the Young Writers Project homepage, and we'd love to see you there. All right, here is episode 23.
It's September. I'm looking for a coat. The dry grass trembles stiffly in the wind, mist sharpening the brown into a shimmering copper. The rain smells like cake, like a warm inside. I pick my way through a back closet. The rough felt of well-worn wool brushes against my face. It's itchy in an intimate way, the kind of itchy that reminds you of the comfortable and the uncomfortable, the difficult charm of history. My fingers find a piece of thick blue fabric. Feeling the warm weight, I wrap it around my shoulders. It takes the form of a coat, an old, itchy, lovely, dusty blue coat. All bundled up, I step out into the rain. I walk down the street. The pavement is like a piece of fruit dissolving, relieved it no longer has to hold itself tight. It smells like wet berries and fallen plums. We are all rotting, relaxing, and our juices are seeping into the dry earth. I head down the street. To the edge. I watch the mist tumble out and in. As my hair becomes wet, I sit down on a piece of driftwood, slipping my hands into the pockets of my coat. The sea and the sky are both gray. Two grays, two blues, two moving things becoming one. The ocean is clearer than I have ever seen it, and hard. The sky breaks on its surface. We sit there for a few moments, my coat and I. On the edge of memory of making, I skip stones. Eventually they sink. I can see them fall into the ocean. Everything smells, the salt, the dirt, the mist, the stones, my coat. I run across the sands, hoping my fast moving legs will set me free. I leap from my log, but my coat holds me to the earth. It's good for walking, good for sitting. I'm glad to have it around my shoulders as I stare into the sea, a vast, vague sea. My coat was my grandfather's, and he was a fisherman. For him, the ocean held no fear, but it was full of fish.
Thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
Well, I was actually walking along the beach, and I had this old blue coat that was my grandfather's, wrapped around my shoulders. And it was the first rainy day of the year, I suppose, or after winter, after summer, whatever that's called. First rainy day of fall. And it had been dry for so long, and I'm not used to the dry. I don't like the way dust feels, or the, I don't know, it feels, summer feels stifling to me. And so it was such a relief to be out in the wet. And also it had been smoky for a while. And so that added to the relief. And I just had this strange idea that I wanted to write about a haunted coat. but not in like a scary way, just a coat that sort of had the soul of someone who passed on. And so it didn't end up turning out to be that, but I don't know. It was just nice to think I had my grandfather with me. That was the inspiration, but it evolved beyond that.
I think it's so interesting to see how our ideas evolve so much from like when we first get them to when we write them down, and then all the different versions that they go through. So your title is The Big Blue, and how does this tie into the rest of the poem?
Well, it was sort of an allusion to both the ocean, which I actually described as gray, and this big coat, and also this kind of abstract idea made tangible, like a color, a big swath of color, taking many different forms throughout the story.
That's so cool. So there are so many lines that stick out to me. What was the first line that you thought of, and how did you go from there?
The rain smells like cake, like a warm inside, was probably the first line that I came up with. Smell is such an access point for me. It's where a lot of my stories come from. It's just this certain smell or a description of a smell. I think 'cause it is so close to memory. Like, it's easy for me to find memories through smell.
Yeah, smell is so, like, associated with memories and stuff. And I did a workshop once that was about smell and memories. And, like, we were looking at different paintings. And our, like, prompt, I guess, was, what do you smell when you look at this painting? And it was so interesting because we all had, like, different answers. Some people, like, one picture was of a bowl of flowers in a little cottage. And some people said, oh, it smells like my grandma's perfume, or it smells like freshly baked pie, or it smells like chlorine, or like really weird things. But it was so interesting how we all had such different memories associated with smells, which were associated with pictures. Very meta.
Yes, I have synesthesia, so my senses are really mixed up. So like I literally smell a color or like feel a sound or see different letters as different colors. And so I think that comes into my writing a lot. Just this kind of very tangible mix up of senses.
That's so cool because I read A Mango Shaped Space where the main character has that. And it's so cool. The way that she describes everything is just so interesting. I feel like that would definitely play a large role in the way that I write and like how I view the world. Do you think that it kind of defines your writing?
I'm not sure if it defines my writing, but it's definitely a big factor. And it might. Like, I always view my writing as like very non-dualist of like combining, I don't know, I use oxymorons a lot. And I think that definitely relates to my synesthesia because the senses aren't so defined. They cross into each other and over each other and through each other. And so like often I'll pair words that normally wouldn't be paired together to kind of create a particular sensation. Yeah, definitely.
That is very, very interesting. So I really love the lines, the rain smells like cake, the difficult charm of history, the pavement is like a piece of fruit dissolving, we are all rotting, relaxing, and our juices are seeping into the dry earth, two moving things becoming one, we sit there for a few moments, my coat and I. And I was wondering, while you were writing this, what line or phrase or stanza felt like a turning point, or like you had finally captured what you were imagining?
I think probably on the edge of memory of making, I skipped stones. I don't know why, but I think I realized at that point that I wanted to turn back to my grandfather and have that kind of tie up the whole image, all of the imagery into this, into sort of a real story.
It's really interesting to me because I feel like the writing process isn't just putting words on paper or typing words onto a computer screen. It's about like physically remembering emotions and feelings and thinking about how best can I capture this? And like, is this what I'm trying to capture? Am I doing it in the right way that feels right to me? Or is this just going off in a totally different direction? So it's a whole like big thing that's going on in your mind.
I totally agree. I feel like writing is the process of amassing experience and then choosing which to record and organize and how to organize it all. It's like, yeah, it's so interesting. And how to warp it too. Like, not everything that I write is real.
Yeah, sometimes I bend the edges of reality a little bit in my writing. When I'm writing, sometimes I'm writing a specific poem, and then as I'm writing it, I think of these other lines for another poem in my head simultaneously. And I'm like, wait, I'm still trying to do this poem. I can't go on to another one yet. It's very chaotic sometimes, and I have to just jot down everything as it comes out. I feel like, in a way, it's very chaotic and crazy, but in another way, that's like a sign of being really committed to writing, I guess, if you're just always having ideas come in and not like telling yourself to shut it out.
Yeah, we have to sort of open ourselves, I suppose, and let it come out unfiltered before it becomes filtered.
Do you find that you kind of filter yourself as you're writing by like staying away from certain topics or trying to perfect what you're thinking of before you write it down?
Definitely. I wish I didn't. Like, I wish I didn't have those walls, but I do. And I think often, like, first, it has to go through the translation process of coming from emotions and experience into, like, actual thoughts And then it has to go through a further translation process onto the page. And then I try to kind of undo that translation a little bit with my oxymorons, with my like contradictions, because I don't want it to feel too filtered, but it is. It's filtered inherently.
Yeah, I think I do kind of do that as I'm writing, and I kind of, like, as I'm thinking of a line, I'm like, wait, no, I should switch this word, I should switch that word, I should do it like this, and I'm always trying to just perfect it before I actually put it down. But it's so interesting what you're talking about translating it from, like, thoughts to words and stuff, because for my communications homework in my communications class, the chapter is on feelings, and the process of having feelings and like gathering information through your senses and then interpreting what it means and then like sharing with other people what your feelings are. And I was like, that's so similar to how I write, is like using my senses and then thinking about what the feeling is and then actually putting it down on paper.
Yes, totally. I'm so jealous that you get to take a communications class. That sounds really neat. I feel like communication is like one of humanity's greatest assets, but it's also what we struggle with the most.
Oh yeah, and like so many things that you like don't tell people that just cause problems. Communicating's weird.
Are you taking it at a college or at
yeah your I'm actually taking all college classes right now. I'm still 16, but I'm doing everything at community college, which has been a very interesting experience so far.
I'm sort of doing it this year. I am a senior, but I'm taking only one of my classes at the high school and the rest at the community college.
Cool.
I'm really enjoying it. It's so interesting and different.
It's really interesting for me too. And I have so much like admiration for all of the people in my classes who are like moms and they homeschool their kids during the day because they're doing online school and they have like 12-hour shifts every week. And it's like so amazing that they're doing all of that and doing their work at the same time.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so back to your poem. It reminded me of a book that I read recently, which is The Water Cure by Sophie McIntosh, which is really amazing. It's such an interesting concept. It's kind of like a futuristic fantasy world where these girls and their parents live on an island, and they have to like do all these different cures and rituals to like cleanse themselves of like men who are harming them in some way. It sounds really weird as I'm describing it, but basically the parents have taught the girls that like you can't have any contact with men, like you have to do all these different things with water and salt to like get rid of their effect on you. It's very interesting, very cool. But anyway, I was reading I was reading a review about it, and the person who wrote the review said that the author writes in a specific palette of lavenders, blues, whites, muslin, cotton, and linen. And it was so interesting for me to see that, because as I was going back through the book, I was like, oh my gosh, this is so true. So do you think that you write in a specific palette? And if you do, what is that palette?
I totally do. But I feel like each of my stories has a different palette. I mean, actually, I wrote a short story that was really all about the color yellow. And actually, it wasn't. It was about this girl, but she embodied yellow. And she used it as a metaphor for everything. And I think that comes from my synesthesia too, because colors are so like visceral for me. But yeah, I could probably go through every single piece I've written and tell you the colors that I feel are used as a palette. I mean, for this one, I feel like it's pretty obviously blue and grays mostly, and a little bit of purple. And maybe some browns, some kind of rich, nutty browns.
Yeah, I thought that was just so interesting that you can pick up on how a writer has a specific like combination of colors that they always use in their writing, or textures like cotton and linen and stuff. So it'd be interesting for me to go back through my writing and see what my palettes are, because I think that I definitely do sort of have a somewhat of a palette. I don't know what it'd be though, because I don't really write about colors that often.
Yeah.
It's interesting though. That's another one of those things that like gets me thinking. But anyway, that book was really cool. There was a description on the back that said it was a feminist dystopian fantasy, which describes it better. Okay, there you go.
I was recently reading this historical fiction called The Book of Longings, and I feel like there's a lot of parallels there because it was set in the first century AD in Judea. And it was like this fictional story about like if Jesus had a wife and like telling it from her perspective. And it was so interesting. It wasn't particularly religious, but it like showed the place that women would have carved out for themselves in religion, like during that time, or at least this woman's idea of it. They had so many different cleaning rituals, exactly like that, of like if they were in contact with men, or if they had had a baby, or if like really did anything. So interesting.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds so cool. But speaking of religion, actually, I was going to mention that you do sometimes mention religion in your writing.
A lot, yes.
And yeah, how does that sort of inspire you or get you thinking?
So I like to say I am firmly an agnostic, which is a bit of a contradiction. There's this sort of concept of God that I find so passionate and so evocative, and I love writing about religion. I love turning things into religion that may not normally, like, that aren't so obviously religious, I suppose. I really like to write about faith and that kind of commitment, I suppose.
It's really interesting to me to learn more about different religions and like how different mm-hmm. people kind of believe in things, because it's so different and so similar to me too. So yeah. I always find that interesting. And there's a lot of things to think about around religion, because if you like really go deep into it, then it's like, whoa, what does it mean to believe in something? So that's a big deep rabbit hole.
Start questioning like the very fundamentals of reality.
Then you have like an existential crisis.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm totally fascinated by religion. And I actually, even though I'm not religious, I've thought about even like maybe even doing my major in religion and like theology, just because it's really been fundamental in sculpting humanity's worldview and like mm-hmm. different ways of seeing things, and it's totally fascinating to me.
Definitely. I think that a lot of things can circle back to religion if you kind of view it from that perspective.
Yeah. But
anyway, moving on. What do you think is the overall meaning of your poem, and what do you like to take away from it as the writer of it and the creator?
Oh goodness. I'm not sure if this one has an overall meaning. I think it's more of a feeling than a meaning. I just wanted to capture that sort of soft warmth and the feeling of kind of hovering on the edge.
That's cool. So somewhat coming back to religion in a way is that when I write, a lot of my writing has to do with the idea of like me as the creator of a poem and my poem mm-hmm. as my creation, and like the relationship between the two of creator and creation. And it's like, something that I wrote about a lot is, at what point does my poem not become mine? Like, is it mine when I write it? Is it mine when I share it with other people? Like, at what point does it become its own thing and not just my thing? Which is also something I think about a lot. I think it's just, there are so many things surrounding writing that are just so deep and like such rabbit holes that you can get stuck in. So this poem is written in prose instead of verse, and how does your writing process change when you write poems in verse or in prose?
The weird thing is, for me, I feel like when I'm writing in prose, it's much less filtered, which is like, I don't know, I feel like it should be the opposite, but I really have a concept when I'm writing in verse that I want to explore, and I have a point. But while I'm writing in prose, it's less that way. It's more like a scene or a sliver of a story, or just like a moment in time that I want to explore and expand and rearrange. But when I'm writing in verse, it's more like an idea, and then I use the imagery to help tell that idea.
That's very interesting. I don't write a lot of prose poetry, but it's so cool for me to hear more about it. And something that I've kind of been trying to do lately is whenever I'm writing like a short story or some piece of fiction, which I don't do a lot of anymore, but I'm trying to get back into. I've been trying to write it more like poetry, where like I have a little more vagueness, I guess, with the way that I describe things and not making it so concrete and having like more poetry within it, I guess. And like the way that I would normally write poetry is so like just smooth and fluid, I think. I'm trying to kind of translate that into the way that I write fiction, which is very interesting for me as a writer, is combining those two, because I feel like they're always kind of separate in my mind.
Yeah, totally. I can't carry a plot for the life of me. Like, whenever I try to write a longer story, it ends up just being a series of conversations or like a series of random scenes that don't really fit together and don't exactly like lead towards anything. And so I think that prose poetry is sort of how I compromise with that. Like, I really want to tell a story, but I'm not, can't conceive of it. I can't conceptualize a whole fluid plot.
Yeah, whenever I write dialogue, I feel like it's always so awkward and so weird and so just forced. So I feel like whenever I'm writing a story, I'm always so good, so motivated up until the point where I get to dialogue, and then I'm like, ooh.
Yeah,
But
I
it's
used to be the
weird.
exact same way with dialogue, but recently I've actually gotten more into it. Actually, what really helped me is writing comedic dialogue, which is so strange because I've never been a very funny person, but I think I get to explore that side of myself in dialogue. And I'm writing this crazy, really weird sci-fi right now that's pretty much all dialogue and these two characters having witty conversations back and forth. And noble,
That sounds so cool.
but
Yeah,
fun.
I feel like people always say I'm funny, and I tell a lot of jokes, but I don't really think of myself as a funny person. And then when I start to write on my own, it's like there is no humor in me whatsoever. It's the weirdest thing. But I guess maybe I just have to start writing down conversations that I have with people to give me some inspiration because,
Interesting idea. I'm gonna try
yeah.
that too.
Because I feel like a lot of writers say how, like, oh, this story was inspired by a conversation I had with my friends. I'm like, oh, I can't remember what I told my friend the other day because my memory just completely forgets it. It's
Same.
weird. Memory is like the weirdest thing.
My God, it's so strange. I'm feeling it right now too because of this whole COVID
Oh,
crazy.
yeah.
It feels like no time has passed because I haven't made any memories.
Yeah, right? But it also feels like it's been years and years since we were back out in the world and stuff. Like the whole concept of time has changed. There's something for you to write about. Yeah, memory though, it's weird because I feel like I have a really good long-term memory. I remember things from like years and years ago very vividly, and I remember names very easily, but I just can't remember short-term things. It's the
Yeah.
weirdest thing.
Yeah.
I guess if it's really important, then I remember it. So, some more questions.
Oh, yes.
How did you first become interested in writing?
My friend actually took me to a writing group with her, run in my town by this children's rights author. And I had played around with writing a little bit before that, but I hadn't really taken it seriously or viewed it as a hobby of mine before. And I just continued going every week to that writing group because I loved it so much. And I am still going. So that was when I was 11. So it's been 6 years now. And yeah.
That's really great. I love when you can find a group that really supports your writing and motivates you to continue because I feel like having groups where you can like share your writing and hear other people's writing is so essential to like making you feel more confident about your writing. And that's why I talk about open mics all the time. That's another one of the things that I always say is that open mics are so really important as a writer, whether you're just starting out or if you've been writing for years because you're sharing your work and possibly getting feedback and hearing other people share their work and just getting more confidence about your writing in general.
Totally agree. Yeah, it's a really powerful thing to read.
Yeah, it is like a really kind of vulnerable thing too to like put yourself, if it's in a physical place, like stand up and stand at the podium and like physically share your words with these people and like make eye contact with the people in the room as you're reading. It's like such a weird experience, but so cool at the same time.
Yeah. I've always felt like I really struggle to express myself verbally. I stutter a bit and I lose my way with my words. And I don't know, I meander. See, I'm doing it right now. But in my write, and so I feel like my writing is the place where I truly get to express myself, is I truly get to like explore my own soul. That's kind of cheesy. But, and so reading that, it's vulnerable, but it's also immensely satisfying for me because I feel like people actually get to know me when they hear my writing. And yeah, that's such a relief.
Yeah, I was just gonna say the main like feeling that I have after reading at an open mic is just such relief to share my words and just be heard for a little bit, because even if it's just a minute or 30 seconds or something, when you're reading, most of the room is completely focused on you. So to just have that like complete attention is really interesting and cool. Yeah. If you like doing that kind of thing.
Yes,
I mean, definitely. If you're scared, then if you don't like public speaking, it can kind of freak you out. And I started off hating public speaking. I get so scared. I start shaking and like freaking out if I had to speak in front of a large group of people. But then, like I said in the last podcast, actually, the one I posted the other day, is that podcast 22. Is that I just kind of force myself to read at open mics, and I put myself in the middle and I just say, you know, can't quit or walk out. You're just going to stand up there and read, and whatever happens, happens, and that's that.
Yeah.
And by forcing myself to do it, I got more comfortable with it. And then in the end, I grew to really like it. So there is the lesson of the day. If you don't like something, just kind of ease yourself into it, and then eventually you'll really like it. It'll be easy for you.
Like how if you listen to a song over and over again, you grow to like it.
Yeah, exactly. So how did you discover Young Writers Project, and what role does it play in your life?
Oh my God. So I discovered it, I was just perusing through a website that had places for teen writers to publish their work, because I had been writing a lot over quarantine and I just wanted the chance to share it. And I made an account and I thought I was probably just going to post a few things. And then I ended up coming back on like every day and posting kind of a ridiculous amount. I'm a little bit embarrassed about how much I've been posting and on there reading, but it's just been a very important part of my life. It's incredible to have a community of writers all over the country with who I can facilitate conversations on art and read incredible pieces of writing and share my own.
That's great. So something I want to mention is that you're from Seattle, which I thought was really cool because it kind of shows how YWP stretches across all these different borders to connect writers from all different parts of the world, really.
Yeah.
And how has that distance affected your writing in a positive way?
I don't know. It's just so exciting to connect with people on the opposite side of the country. There's something, I don't know, I feel that. Like, I feel this interconnectedness that's incredibly exhilarating. And I think it makes me want to share my writing more because it's so outside of my community, of my immediate community. I feel like I get the chance to sort of spread myself out a little bit. That sounds kind of incredibly egotistical, but that's been, yeah, really exciting.
Yeah, I think it's really great that people can connect, as I've said before, despite time zones and all that, physical distance. And because really, so many aspects of writing and art are like universal. So it really doesn't matter where you live to be able to have interesting conversations and share your writing and your art, photography, and etc.
So true. That's one of my favorite parts of writing, is that I don't have to relate to someone's, if I'm in a community of writers, I don't have to relate to their immediate experience. I can just discuss their ideas and their experience. We don't have to have like a common ground. The common ground can be our differences and the sort of audacity of our ideas and exploring them. Because I don't know, it's so much easier to, for me, it's so much easier to have conversations on an abstract level. And that's where conversation flows.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that I actually connect more with people who don't live that close to me than people who do, because I feel like I find a lot of people who just share the same ideas as me and have the same interests, and we really connect, and it's not really dependent on like us living within 10 minutes of each other. And it's so interesting for me because I feel like I've had such more meaningful conversations with people who live like across the world from me than with my friends who live like just a few neighborhoods away.
I also feel like it's really easy just to go back into your, like, your old standbys, like complaining about people at school or talking about your favorite restaurants, or I don't know, if you are connecting with people in your immediate area while you're forced to kind of go outside of the box with people on the opposite side of the country or the world.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like when I'm talking to people who live like in my same town, it's so boring and it's so just like, oh, did you go to the mall the other day? Have you seen the new clothes at Target? It's like so surface level and nothing really abstract, I guess. But yeah. I was reading, actually, for my communications class, again, about online communication and how it's a lot easier for us to, share our feelings and, like, serious things in our lives because we don't have people physically, like, staring at us.
Oh, interesting.
And, yeah, it's really interesting. And also because, like, something about how responses and time and how, like, when you hear... You know, you can, like, write out a good answer. You know, you can, like, always delete what you say. You can redo it. Whereas in real life, you might just slip up and say, oh, what, really? That's really bad or something, then offend the other person. Whereas, like, when it's online, you can always delete it and, like, be more, less judgmental and more understanding about the situation.
Yeah, that's so true. Make your thoughts beautiful, which
you
don't have if you have to, like, immediately communicate a response.
Yeah, I feel like I always, whenever I'm doing, like, face-to-face communication, I feel like I always say, I never really say what I'm actually thinking, because I'm like, oh, well, what if they think I'm weird, or what if blah, 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 blah. So, there's another interesting thing. All right, a few more questions.
All right.
So, what was the best writing advice that you ever got, and what writing advice would you give to someone else?
Value verbs. It's probably the best writing advice I've ever gotten. And I, a lot of the times, resort to stacking adjectives to try to come up with a feeling that I can't really, that English doesn't really have a word for. But the more I started to use unique verbs to add character to my writing, the less I had to do that. I actually stack adjectives quite a bit in this piece, but that was on purpose rather than like that was on a, as a technique rather than just because I had no other option. And I think don't be afraid to contradict yourself would be my advice that I would give. Don't be afraid to combine words in unconventional ways.
I agree. I think that that makes your writing really interesting when you combine things in weird ways and have weird descriptions because that makes it stand out from everyone else's writing. My advice for someone, like we were talking about before about filtering as you're writing, don't filter what you're writing. Just write it down as you think of it and as it comes to you. And then later you can edit and filter and make it like perfect, quote unquote. But as you're physically writing, don't stop yourself from writing anything down because then you might go off in a different direction or be inspired in a different way. So there's that. And with that, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I'm so glad that we got to talk today.
Me too. Thank you so much for inviting me.
This has been episode 23 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed and stay tuned for episode 24. Bye.